Good morning, Cornerstone. Good morning. How was your week? It was a bit of a week, wasn't it? We had an election this week. Anybody notice? There's some emotional responses to that going off online, and lots of crazy stuff going on. But whether you're happy with how things went or not happy or whatever, it's been a week. And today also is Veterans Day. And Veterans Day weekend, anyway, Veterans Day is tomorrow. But I'm learning the more I interact with veterans who are younger than me to really appreciate the sacrifice, because they come home sometimes with carrying baggage that they did not go with, and PTSD and crazy things. So it's just a really big sacrifice to be willing to go, to be willing to put yourself out there. And so this weekend is one of those times that we remember with gratitude and thanks. So if you know anybody who's a veteran, we have at least one in here today who is near the front, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. But we have at least one veteran that I know of, and there are more that you are connected to. So let's appreciate those sacrifices. At the same time, I don't schedule this, but we're talking about a spiritual battle today, and I'm going to tell you, it's real. It's real, and we're all involved in that. So we're involved in a battle, and it's serious, it's intense. So kind of to start off, we're going to sing some songs that relate to that. I just want to ask you guys, do you believe in angels? You believe in angels? I'm going to sing a song about angel armies. Angel armies, not little cute, fat cherubs with bows, but armies. Beasts, like strong, mighty warriors. You believe that that's real? We believe in God. Does that come with some other things in the spiritual world? It actually does. So let's sing these songs, faith songs. Strengthen our faith in the battle. Rise to your feet. Sing, Whom Shall I Fear? It's one we haven't sung in a while, but it's some good truths.
You are faithful. the one who reigns forever. He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always.
Lord, I just want to just lift my voice up to you and cry out to you on behalf of those who are here today. God, we need your angel armies. And some of us feel that really powerfully, our need for you. Some of us, we just kind of walk in oblivious and don't even realize what's going on around us. So God, for those who feel the need, God, make your presence known today, right now. God, you're powerful. You're strong, and you care. So, God, for those things that are going on in people's hearts right now, God, hold them close, lift them up, bring them to a place of fearlessness, God, because you're right by our side. You've already won the battle. God, we feel overwhelmed at times. We feel defeated at times. And yet the battle is already won, God. And we want to hold on to that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready to hold on to that truth? He's already won.
No matter what comes my way. Savior, my defense. No more fear in life or death. I know how the story ends. We will be with you again. You're my Savior, my defense. No more fear in life or death. I know how the story ends. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. Oh, 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 oh.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Good to sing these songs, right? Remind ourselves what's true. Our heart needs it. It's good to sing together. Well, I have a question of the day that relates to what we're going to be talking about in just a couple minutes. Question is, do you believe in ghosts? I sent an email out. Get you thinking about it. You believe in ghosts? Go ahead and turn to someone near you and answer that question. Kids third grade and below can head down to Children's Church, and I'll be back in just a minute. And there's the man. Oh, the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you don't believe in ghosts. You don't believe in Holy Ghost? All right, well, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. And as the Apostle Paul wraps up his letter to the Ephesians, he talks about a spiritual battle. He talks about powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And guys, I want you to think about it. We're in church. I know we talk about spiritual things. We talk about God. But is this stuff for real? Spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Is that real? Some of you know it's real. Guys, is there an unseen world that would absolutely freak me out if all of a sudden I could see it? Yes! Absolutely. Guys, Jesus spoke to evil spirits thousands of times during his earthly ministry. Was Jesus crazy? Was he deluded? Was he deceived? Was he deceiving us? Was he trying to trick us? Yeah, it's not really an evil spirit, but I'm going to pretend. Like, is that what Jesus did? I don't think so. We're the crazy ones to live as if the spiritual world is not real. So, are ghosts real? Thank you, Matt. It depends on how you define it, right? How you define a ghost. So if you're talking about a ghost as a disembodied human spirit with some kind of unfinished business, no. No. Not real. Ghosts are not real. So I want to talk about this from a biblical perspective. What does the Bible say? Because this is our source of truth. Not like, yeah, I think so. No, I don't think so. It doesn't matter what you think, what you don't think. What does this say? And there are actually a couple places in the Bible where human spirits come back from the dead. There are two spots that I know of. Maybe there's more. But Matthew 17, Moses and Elijah show up with Jesus on the mountain. They had been dead a long time already. And yet there they were.
1 Samuel chapter 28, with the help of a witch, King Saul summons Elijah from the dead. I don't recommend you try that. No? Summons Samuel. Samuel. My notes are wrong. Who did that? Let's blame somebody. King Saul summons Samuel from the dead. Don't do that. Don't try that at home. And Samuel comes and talks to him. And in both of those examples, they're not angels. They're not demons. They are summoned actual human spirits. But guys, this is a very extreme exception. You don't see this happening all the time. And this is something where God permits these spirits to make an appearance. That doesn't mean we're going to see this kind of thing all the time. So I have a couple examples where it does happen in the Bible. Why would I say with such confidence, no, this is not happening. This is not, ghosts don't just linger here as unfinished business and spirits, like they don't get to get settled. Let me just show you some evidence from the Bible from different places, just kind of to get us started here. Here's one, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. It says this, "The dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. When the body and the soul are separated at death, the body goes back to the earth. Whether it's cremated or buried or whatever happens, it goes back to the earth, and the soul goes back to God." That's what Ecclesiastes says. It doesn't linger here. Hebrews chapter 9 is another one. It says this, "Just as man is destined to die once," that means there's no such thing as reincarnation. You die one time, and after that to face judgment, "so Christ was sacrificed once to take away sins of many people." We die and we go to God. We face judgment. Whether we're ready or not, whether there's unfinished business or not, when you die, you're dead. And you go to be with God. Luke 23 is one more example I'll give you. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Who's he talking to? Not Elijah. Not Samuel. Jesus is talking to the thief on the cross. There's two guys next to him, and one of them says, "Savior, remember me. Lord, remember me when you come into your glory." He says, "You're going to be with me today." Today. That's hope for us, guys, because he didn't have a chance to do anything right, anything good, except look to the Savior and believe in him. "You're going to be with me. You're not going to have to live so many years in purgatory or something like that." No. Humans do not linger on earth after they die. So from that perspective, no, there's no such thing as ghosts. But what about haunted houses and all the paranormal stuff that's out there? I know some of you have experienced some of that. You've seen it. My daughter had an experience with something paranormal like 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to give you the details about it. But is that all fake? It's not all fake. Some of that's real. I believe houses can be haunted. You want to fire me? I believe it's true. But if they're haunted, it's not by a human spirit, it's by an evil spirit. And I'm absolutely convinced there are evil spirits in this world, but they're demonic spirits, not human spirits. Guess what? They might pose as human spirits to get people thinking their Aunt Lucy is still here. But it's not Aunt Lucy. Somebody else is behind that. So, if what you mean by ghost is evil spirits, fallen angels, demons, right? Then yes, those are real. And their purpose is to keep people away from God any way they can. Do whatever harm they can against us. They can't hurt him, so they try to hurt his kids. They're real. It's real. They're just as real as humans. Jesus was not out of his mind when he commanded evil spirits to come out of people. Did he heal sicknesses? Yes. Did he heal the demon possessed? Yes. And they're different things. And it would be naive to think that all the forces of evil went into hibernation after Jesus went back to heaven, right? They were there then, they're there now. The spiritual world is still real. Remember the apostles? They continue to deal with evil spirits and demon-possessed after Jesus had left, right? Jesus didn't bring them. They were already here. They're still here. And I want to give you one example from the Bible where some demons showed up during the time where Paul's writing to this city, the city of Ephesus, some demons showed up in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. So I want to read that, just help you see, like, here's one example going on in Ephesus, the book that we've been studying for almost a year. Here's what happened. Acts 19, 13. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. They had a ministry of exorcism. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" You know what happened then? The man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all. How many were there? Seven. One man possessed by an evil spirit, or more than one. He gave them such a beating, they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. This isn't a fairy tale. This is history. This happened in Ephesus. Paul's writing to Ephesus. Let's not take the spiritual world lightly. Don't mess around with it. The powers of darkness are not weak. So in our passage in Ephesians today, I got four bullet points for you. Four bullets, and hopefully this is going to help us kind of hang on to what's going on here and how we need to think about this. Number one, the spiritual realm is real, containing both good and evil spirits. There are angel armies, and there are demonic armies. And they've got ranks and all of that. You can see that in the Bible too. We don't have time to get into it. But it's real, and there's good and evil. And guess what? They don't mind their own business. They mind our business. They're here. That's why Paul needs to talk about it. Paul's going to talk about it. He's going to tell the Ephesians, here's what you got to do. What is Paul going to say to these Ephesian believers about the spiritual world? He waits till the last chapter, the end of this letter. Guys, you need to know this. You need to understand this. He saves it to the end so they remember. This is kind of like the climax. It's at the end of the letter. What is he going to say? Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, after all these other things that I've talked about, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. This poster over here, this is something that AJ did years ago, and it's been in storage or something. I reached out to her this week. I said, AJ, do you still have that? Where is that thing? And she found it, and this is going to be up the next couple weeks, and we're going to talk about this next week too. You can come up and look at that. You can read about it, but it's the spiritual battle is real. Does Paul believe the spiritual battle is real? Oh my goodness, he believes it. Absolutely. He's convinced. And some of those spirits out there are evil. So he warns us right off the beginning. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Not just be strong, not just stand strong, but be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Our strength needs to come from God. You can't fight a spiritual battle with physical strength. You can't. We absolutely need God's power for that. That's why he leads off with that. You got to be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. But the good news is his power is available. He makes it available. Paul invites us, put on the full armor of God so we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. You can be equipped for this. You can be prepared for this. Even though you can't see him, you can fight him. It's hard to fight an invisible enemy. I've watched Lord of the Rings. It's hard. But we can. We're going to come back to the armor in detail next week. But look at verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Veterans Day, those battles are against flesh and blood. Against ideologies, against all kinds of things. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Guys, this is coming straight out of God's word. This is not some fairy tale. This is truth. So we've got to lock in. If this is a real thing, if we got an invisible enemy that wants to knock us down and beat us up and kill us and all of our friends, it wants to do as much damage as possible, we've got to be alert. We got to be locked in. This is real. And there's a lot of battles we can get involved in. A lot of battles we can get distracted by. But the one that really matters, the one that carries eternal consequence, is the battle of this against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Real. It is real. Second bullet. Our struggle. Sorry, I missed some slides. Our struggle is not against other people. Our struggle is not against other people. It's against spiritual forces of evil. We've got to hang on to this. Guys, the most important battle that we're in is for other people. It's not against them. Sometimes we get mixed up. We start getting in this battle against other people. That's not where we're supposed to be. And when you read verse 12 that I just read to you, you can conclude the battle is against both evil human rulers and evil spiritual forces. But that is not what Paul's saying. That's not what he's saying. When you read verse 12 in the original Greek, the everything he lists in that list, he says rulers, authorities, powers of the dark world, spiritual forces of evil. Every one of those things, every single one of them is not talking about human things, it's talking about spiritual beings. Like you could look at rulers and say, we got human rulers, but he's not talking about human rulers. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual beings. He's not warning us about corrupt human governments. Do we have those? Oh my goodness, we do. Do we have any not corrupt governments? I don't know. He's not warning us against the Democrats. Or against the Republicans, or against the communists. He's not warning us against conspiracies, these things that people are doing, people that think they're so strong, so mighty. He's not warning us against that. He's warning us against Satan and his fallen angels, who are all about deception and destruction. They provide counterfeit alternatives to the one true God. They draw people away from God, doing any way they can. Pull people away from the light into the darkness. Discredit Jesus, cast doubt on his name and every way that they can, and to spiritually defeat God's people. That's what they're about. That's what they want to do. They want to defeat us. They want to defeat God. Our struggle is not against other people. It's against spiritual forces of evil. They are real, but we're really easily distracted from that. Guys, our country's been in the throes of a serious, intense, political battle, right? And there was a vote that just happened, an election that just happened, but it's been a political battle. If you watch any TV, oh my goodness, the advertising has been despicable. The amount of money going into slandering political opponents is deplorable on both sides, right? And maybe you're happy with the outcome, maybe you're not. But guys, the political battle, it's not nearly as important as what we're talking about right here. The spiritual battle that many people's attention has been drawn away from. People think that their salvation is in a political leader. It is not. It is not. Who sits in the Oval Office the next 4 years is not the primary battle we need to be concerned about. What is the battle we need to be concerned about? What is that battle? I'm just going to stop talking for a minute and just get you guys to talk for a second. How would you describe or define the spiritual battle that's going on around us? Just in your own words. What's the battle? What are the priorities of the battle? Just turn to somebody next to you, groups of two or three people. I'm just going to give you a minute to talk about it. What is this battle? Go.
right, what do you say? What is this battle? Anybody want to throw something out there?
Oh, no.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. That's too much to repeat online. Hopefully, maybe online you heard some of that. Maybe not.
I think it's a battle for our souls.
A battle for our souls. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else?
In most cases, it's subtle and covert. In some cases, it's overt.
Yep.
But that's rare.
Yeah. Depends on what part of the world you're in. Yeah, depends on a lot of things. Yeah, many times it's subtle, sometimes it's overt. Yeah, let me just give you a couple thoughts. From God's perspective, the battle is for the souls of men and the glory of his name. From our perspective, here's how I would put it. From the human perspective, the goal is that we and as many others as possible would find peace, hope, and healing through a reconciled relationship with God through Jesus. Peace, hope, and healing. And that relationship grows closer and more intimate as we journey through the celebrations and disappointments of life, learning to trust God in all of it. This is the battle. This is the battle. Not, did my party win? Right. Oh, my goodness. Did I get what I want? Did I get my way? Some of the things that we put our hearts and souls into? No, have you found peace, hope, and healing through a reconciled relationship with God through Jesus? And how about your neighbors? How about your family members? How about your friends? This is the important thing. So you getting that peace, hope, and healing, but also my life, is my life influencing other people toward the same thing? It's not just that I believe that this is real. No, this is real. It's real for me and for them. So it's not just about spiritual health and fullness for me, right? We got to share this. It's not, okay, we come into the church. We all believe this. Like, I'm preaching to the choir, right? We all believe this. But what about everybody else? This is real for them too. Believe it or not. I love the Old Testament story of the four lepers. I was going to tell you the story of the three lepers, and I looked it up. It's four. I make mistakes in my study. 2 Kings chapter 7, four lepers. These four men, they're incurably sick. And they're living in a city under siege. They are surrounded by the enemy. It's been that way for months, maybe years. I don't know how long. But the people in the city have run out of food. They are out of food. The mothers are starting to consume their children. It's really, really bad. This is in the Old Testament. So the whole city is in desperate survival mode. And so in their desperation, these four lepers who basically have nothing to lose anyway, they walk out of the city straight into the enemy camp, fully intending to surrender. And they're thinking, like, I'd rather die by the sword than by starvation. I think I might agree with that. But they thought, well, who knows? Maybe there's this off chance that they'll accept us. They're lepers. Like, think they'll accept them? Probably not. So they go out and they go into the enemy camp, and when they arrive in the enemy camp, there's nobody there. They're under siege, being held captive by no one.
The people, the enemy, had been spooked in the night by an angel of God. You can read it yourself. Angel of God causes the enemy to hear the sounds of chariots and horses and a great army. That's what they heard in the night, and they took off. The entire army just flees for their lives, leaving everything behind, all their provisions. So what do the four lepers do when they walk into this camp that's filled with food and treasure and no people? Well, they loot and pillage, of course. What would you do? They ate food first, and then they grabbed silver, gold, clothes. They went off and hid them. They returned, they entered another tent, and they did the same thing. And then they realized, hold on, guys. We're not doing what's right right now. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. And if we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. The leaders of this city will find out you did what? So let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went back, they shared the good news that their enemy was gone, and everybody got to share in a feast that day. Starving people now get to eat. The four lepers didn't keep the blessing to themselves. We can't keep the blessing to ourselves. We can't. Back in the beginning of Ephesians, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have so much. That blessing's meant to be enjoyed and shared. That's got to be top priority. We're ambassadors of God. That's what he calls us. We represent him in this world. And to God, spiritual matters are most important. When that's our focus, then the lesser priorities find their place. Does it matter who's elected? Sure. I mean, yeah, but not as much as these spiritual priorities. Do the other priorities that you have matter? Yeah, they do, but not as much. There was an article in the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. We get these emails every week. My wife reads them. I don't. She tells me about them. Sometimes I go back and read them. But there was an article that came out on Election Day that quoted C.S. Lewis, and I want to share just a little bit from it that I think it was significant and thought-provoking. It said this: "We shall never save civilization as long as civilization is our main object. We must learn to want something else even more." And that's something, he explained, is heaven. Those whose minds were most focused on the eternal have in fact accomplished the most good in the world. Are you locked in on the right battle? I've got a battle that I'm fighting right now that is not the right battle. I'm battling having the wrong battle. And I didn't put this in my sermon, but I said I'm going to tell you about it. I have a battle going on, battling for what's most important. And some of you know I have a side gig. It's just a little stupid thing. I'm selling skis. I'm a skier, so I buy and sell used ski equipment. So I'm starting to sell it now. It's a season, right? It's coming in. So I'm selling this stuff. My heart is going into that. I bought a pair of boots for $50 and sold it for $150. That's kind of cool. I like that. It's like, boom, that works. But I'm giving my heart to that. Like, I'm thinking about it all the time. I'm watching Facebook Marketplace. I get a message, anybody want to buy my stuff? Like, I'm battling that. I'm seeing that in my own heart. Like, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Like, what's going on in my heart? It's greed. I want more money. I like this thing. It's working. It's fun. Is it wrong to buy and sell used skis? No. Is it wrong to give my heart to it? Yes. So that's where I'm at, and I don't have it figured out yet. I'm having to decide, like, do I have to give this up completely, or can I figure it out and not give my heart to it? I don't know yet. To be continued. But guys, what's taking your heart? I get up in the morning, I'm like, did I get any messages this morning? Like, what's distracting your heart from the spiritual world? Because it could be anything. Our heart is an idol factory. We are constantly coming up with new things to worship. They could be sinful things. They could be good things. What's distracting your heart from what's real going on here? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Not about getting the right candidate in the Oval Office. It's not about physical things like debt reduction or fair treatment at work or pursuing the American dream or climate change or the economy or education reform. Are those things worthwhile? Yes. I mean, you might be like, well, not that one. Okay. Those things are worthwhile to give some effort to. But they are smaller priorities that we've got to keep the main spiritual priority out front. We have to, because it's the most important thing. Paul says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. If those things are real, that's the most important thing. Don't let them take the people we love down. Don't let them take us down. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. You want to still be standing when the enemy attacks you with full force? Don't pump your chest out. I talked to a guy, he said, yeah, if we got evil spirits in this house, they got to get through me. Oh, yeah? Seven sons of Sceva. Need I say more? Look it up. Guys, point number three, bullet number three, it takes spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual battle. It takes spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual battle. Verse 11 and 13 repeats the same exact phrase, put on the full armor of God. Of God. Guys, you wouldn't bring a popsicle stick to a sword fight. You got to have the right weapons. And you bring your own guns like this, they are not going to do. You're not going to bring a Nerf gun to a duel. That's not going to go well. Seven sons of Sceva got whooped by the demon they thought they could take on. They were ill-prepared. Guys, this is real. Satan is real, and he plays for keeps. This isn't some kind of sitcom. This isn't some kind of show. Oh, let's change the channel. You have any idea how much music out there encourages suicide and violence against women? Where's that come from? Whose influence do you think that is? You know, one of Satan's titles is the prince of the power of the air. That's in Ephesians 2. Guys, this isn't a game. It's not a simulation. The battle's in full swing. It's happening now. We need spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual battle. Put on the full armor of God. Full armor of God. You know what that reminded me of as I was studying? David and Goliath. Remember David and Goliath? Pretty known story. Remember David's faith? He takes one look at that Philistine giant and says, if nobody else will do it, I will. Little David, he's this shepherd boy. I'm going to read some of that story because, man, it's inspiring. 1 Samuel 17. Give you the slide. I don't forget. 1 Samuel 17. This is just so good. One of my favorite stories. David says, I'll fight him. So he approaches Saul, King Saul. Saul's like, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear, not a bear cub, not a little kitty cat, a lion and a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. David didn't say, I've been working out every day. You know, I don't have anything else to do in the fields. I just pump iron. Do you see me? Look at my body. I'll take this guy on. He does not say that. No. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, he's going to deliver me from this one too. Total confidence, not in himself. Put on the full armor of God. David had been wearing God's armor for quite a while already. He'd had some skirmishes. He'd had some battles, and he saw how it came out. That belt of truth, he knew what was true. The breastplate of righteousness was in place. Shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. He knows by God's power, I can take down that giant. But what did they try to do first? Remember? Saul tried to put his own armor on David, right? How'd that work out? Not so good. It didn't work out. It didn't fit. Too bulky, too heavy. He couldn't move as freely as he would need to. So he took it off. And Saul's like, okay, it's on you now. But the fate of the entire army was on them. And David steps out onto that battlefield with nothing but his shepherd's staff, a little leather sling, 5 smooth stones, and the power of Almighty God. Goliath takes one look at David. Goliath doesn't believe in the spiritual battle. He doesn't see everything. Verse 43, he said to David, "Am I a dog? You come at me with sticks, a shepherd's staff? Woo! You're scaring me now." The Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Remember that phrase, birds of the air, beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and spear and a javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, he wasn't intimidated. He wasn't afraid. Ha! I don't think so. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. One round in the ring. This is a quick fight. Like, you'd expect there to be more rounds, right? I mean, come on. That's it. One little stone right in the middle of the forehead, and he's done. A sling, a stone, and the power of God. A shepherd boy, wearing no physical armor, stands before the king, holding the head of Goliath by the hair. David was fully dressed in the armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Guys, this is an invitation and a command. You want to see spiritual victories? You're not going to get them in your own strength. It is impossible. You need God's power. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and having done everything, to stand. And in that verse, there's really 3 words that jump off the page. Full. Put on the full armor of God. We need all of the armor. You leave one piece exposed and you're done. We need it all, not just some of it. We're going to break that down piece by piece next Sunday. What is this armor? How do we put it on? Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not if, when, it's going to happen. It's already happening. It's not an if, it's a when. We all need God's armor or we're going to be defeated. You're like, I don't need that. I'm not going to get involved in the battle. You're in the battle. You're in it. The last word is stand. Repeated 4 times in this passage. Does God want us to win the victory? He wants you to stand. He wants you to make it. He wants you to have victory. And the only way to stand, the only way we're going to get Goliath on the ground and stay on our own 2 feet is by the power of God. And the way we access that is by putting on the armor of God. You're going to face spiritual battles. You probably already have. Which brings me to bullet point number 4. It's a lot smarter to prepare for battle before you get there than to wait until you need it. You don't start doing push-ups on the day before the battle. If you're a twig, you're not going to get anywhere. We need to not be spiritual twigs. We can't do it that way. Paul says, put it on now. Put the armor on now. Don't put it, yeah, I know where it is. I know how to do it. I know what to do when I need it. Put it on now. A friend of mine is in the Army Reserves. 1 weekend a month, he goes away for training. Every month, he leaves his family for training. A couple years ago, he's deployed for an entire year in Poland for training, a whole year away from his family. They are training, training, training. He gives large chunks of his summer every year, goes out west for more training. Guys, the Army believes in training. He's on deployment again now. They take training seriously. They know their enemy is real. They're preparing, preparing, preparing. Is the spiritual battle we're in more or less important than the physical conflicts our army might face? The war in Ukraine, Israel, the political divide in our own country. People are talking about civil war. Genocide, all the problems in our world, government corruption, starvation. Guys, there's so much going on, and it's hard, it's real, and it matters. Lives and futures are at stake, and evil is winning in some of these battles, many of these battles. But guys, the truth is the spiritual battle is in those things too. It's there. It's in those battles. It's an undercurrent behind every physical battle. You can't see it, but it matters more than anything. The spiritual battle is right here in Kutztown. It's right here in this church. It's in your house. It's in your family. It's at Oasis. Guys, we had 53 kids at Oasis on Wednesday. 53. How many of those kids? How many of those kids have not yet found peace, hope, and healing through a reconciled relationship with God through Jesus? Most of them. Almost all of them. The unseen battle is on your block. It's in my neighborhood. It's in your kitchen. Are we aware of it? Are we prepared for it? Are we thinking about it? That's the point right now, to be aware of it. Think about it. Am I dressed for it? Is it part of my focus? What is it? What does the spiritual battle have to do with relationships? This is a relationship series, right? Let's kind of pivot there. What does it have to do with relationships? It has a lot to do with relationships. It affects the way we see people. If I'm aware of what's going on, it changes the way I look at people. When I've lost spiritual focus, I start to see people as obstacles, as tools, as problems, as assets, liabilities, machines to give me what I want. I want my coffee in the morning, so you're there to do that for me. Whatever it is, it changes the way we see people. Sometimes we become convinced a person is our enemy. If you're aware of the spiritual battle, you know it's not a person. A person is not your enemy. It's not a Democrat. It's not a Republican. Not a libertarian. Guys, it's been sad this week to hear about relationships lost because of political affiliations. That's distraction. That's a misguided focus. Your enemy's not a person. It's not a person who hurt you. It's not a person who abandoned you, a person who offended you. Those are not your enemies. They're people just like you. They're hurting too. They're broken too. Their soul, Jesus died to save. I was listening to part of Trump's victory speech on Wednesday morning and just listening a few minutes of it. And in it, he referred to our enemies, talking about the media outlets. Our enemies, he called them directly. And they're very much opposed to him. It's true. And politically speaking, they are enemies. But what about spiritually speaking? The people that are running those outlets are human beings, human souls, who Jesus deeply loves. He died to save those people too. He loved them so much that Jesus, Son of God, would hang on a cross for their sins. The people who run CNN and Fox and all the other ones. Jesus died for them. They're people. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you because Jesus died for them too. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So when you start to feel like a person is becoming your enemy, for whatever reason, just ask God, God, show me who my real enemy is. Please show me that because I'm feeling it's a person right now. Spiritual battle, the one that matters most. Ed said it right. It's a battle for human souls. Are you prepared for that battle? Are you engaged in that battle? Is that your heart's focus? Are you wearing the armor of God like David? Spiritually focused, passionate, prepared. Is that where you live? Because it's a lot smarter to prepare for battle before you get there than to wait until it's on you. Let me just read the passage again. Finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. You know, I don't think that most of us, our problem is we don't believe in the spiritual battle. We're just not looking at it. And when you're looking this way and the enemy's coming from this way, you can get knocked around pretty serious. But if you're facing the enemy square on, you know this is real, and you're prepared for it, you're ready for it, you're braced for action, you have a lot better chance. This is not a Disney movie. It's real. So next week, we're going to talk about the details of the armor. How do we put it on? What is it? How can I take my stand against the devil's schemes? You don't want to miss that. You want to understand the armor and how to put it on. We're going to talk about that poster some more too. A powerful depiction of this seriousness of the battle. Appreciate what AJ put together many years ago. Really thinking about that. It's filled with scripture. Take a look at it. You guys want to win the battle? You want to win the spiritual battle against the spiritual forces of evil? Do you want to win that battle? Or do you want to just hide from it? Like, we could hide from it. But if you want to win it, dig into Ephesians 6 this week, verses 10 to 18. We're going to finish that section next week. Verses 10 to 18, look at the armor, how to put it on. For now, I'm going to stop. What's your next step? What are you going to do now? Are you going to spend some time in this passage? Are you going to actually do that this week and think about, meditate, process this armor and what it is? Do I have it on? Maybe you just need to consider, are there any less important battles that have distracted me from the most important one? I told you about mine right now. That's one of them. I probably have a few others too. But we've got all kinds of things that distract us. Confess those things to God. With his help, reset your focus on things that are most important. And maybe for you, it's to ask God for opportunities to appropriately participate in the spiritual battle. We're in it. To resist the devil, to draw near to God, to treat people as people, to see them with spiritual eyes, and to live a life that cries, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what I care about most. That's what I want to care about most. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I was at breakfast this week. And our waitress came, and like they always do, they came to ask how everything was, and everything was fine. I said, everything's fine. And then it just kind of hit me like, and how are you? She was walking away, and she gave us more of an answer than I expected. She was not doing well. It's a rough day. She told me that. Servers aren't supposed to do that. Everything's good. Nah, she said it's a rough day. That's all she said, and she walked away. But when we went to pay our check, she took our check, and I said, hey, we prayed for you today. We prayed at the table for her. And she said, thank you. I need it. I need it. What's behind that? I don't know yet, but I'm going back there for breakfast again, and I will see her again. Guys, that's the kind of focus we're talking about. That's what we're talking about, engaging. Whether it's people you know really well, people you don't know at all, let's lock into the right battle, because God's going to work through it. We are his soldiers. Look at the poster. That's how he sees us, like David fighting Goliath. Just take a minute. What's your next step?
morning.
Good morning. Let's pray. God, the battle is real, and sometimes we don't really understand what's going on, so give us a better understanding. God, help us to be aware of this spiritual battle, that it becomes more and more of a priority in our hearts, that we see it. God, give us some action. Help us to be ready for it. Don't give us more than you prepared us for. But Lord, help us to be part of this battle and see that it's real. People matter. It's a battle for the souls of men, our own and the people we love, the people we don't even know. God, awaken us. Awaken us to what's really happening, what you can see. Help us see it too. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing one last song. It's one we've been learning. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. The spiritual world, it's important.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven.
Stand up to your feet.
Right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven. Right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sin against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven. Right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. As we forgive the ones who sin against us. Forgive them. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver. Evil one, let your kingdom come. It's yours, all yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours, all yours, forever and ever. The kingdom is yours. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart.
Amen. Let that be the cry of our heart. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. It's real. The kingdom is real. It's going to be so real when we see him face to face, when we stand in his presence and we see the nail marks in his hands, the mark in his side. We're going to see that. And our eyes will be open. We will see as he does. In the meantime, God, it's cloudy. We can't see clearly. We're easily distracted. God, help us to lock in to what's most important. God, it's you, your strength, your power. You're teaching us, and you're patient with us, God. This training, you're so patient and so good. So God, help us not beat ourselves up for maybe not being as aware as we could be or should be, but help us to walk with you in willing obedience, to trust you more and more, to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Have a seat. And Joyce, don't have a seat. We have a couple of announcements, and Joyce is going to make one of them. You ready to roll?
Yep, I'm all right. Downstairs, or you can see me, we have forms for the Raise Right fundraiser for Oasis. So if you buy gift cards for Christmas, or you just want to buy groceries or go to a drugstore, you can get gift cards, and a percentage will get given to Oasis. In the past, we've gotten anywhere from like $300 to $500 profit, which went to Oasis. And it's just buying things you normally buy, or you do, if you do gift cards. So please think about it. See me if you have any questions. The deadline is Sunday the 24th. I try to take advantage of getting some free shipping perhaps, and maybe some increased percentages during the Black Friday and what is it called, Cyber Monday. Sometimes they give us better discounts. So if you're interested, please consider it. Thank you.
All right. So yeah, if you buy gift cards for gifts or whatever, or even for grocery stores, if you buy groceries, you can buy grocery store gift cards and just don't lose them. So then they can benefit you and Oasis. It can be really helpful. Also, we got an all-nighter. Oasis all-nighter is this Friday. So please pray. Please pray for the adults who are going to be there to make it through the night. Pray for the students who are signing up. We're getting registrations last week. This week, they're coming in. And just pray that God will work, because they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the message. There's a spiritual battle. We're going to have some fun, but we're going to engage in that spiritual battle a little bit. So be praying Friday night, right around midnight, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Send an alarm, wake yourself up, get on your knees, pray for those students, because they do not know Jesus. Most of the kids who are signing up do not know Jesus. So please, please pray. We've got a Christmas party coming up. I think there's a slide for that. Saucony Cross, December 7th. Put that in your calendar. Plan on joining us. Provide food. Like, we all work together to make that happen. It's something my dad and mom are doing the Bible study all year long. Christmas time, we all come together, throw a party for the folks at Saucony Cross. It's a lot of fun. And so we're getting ready for that. Plan on making that happen. We also have a new sermon series coming. I'm almost done with Ephesians, I promise. We're going to start Genesis. I've never preached through Genesis before. We're going to start with a series on the first 11 chapters. We're going to kind of break it up. But if you know somebody who doesn't know much about the Bible and they're kind of interested, you've been maybe talking to them, this might be a good thing to invite them to. November 24th is when we start. So if you got somebody who just maybe doesn't know really much of anything about God or the Bible, and you're starting to have conversations, it could be a good thing to invite to. There are some other things in the program, other things going on, but that's all I'm going to talk about for today. There's some refreshments downstairs. Hang out as long as you want, and hope you have a great day. Keep your eyes open. All right. Have a good one.